Welcome to this week's Big Boat interview with me, Stuart Campbell. This week, I spoke to Guillaume Hodé, the co-founder of a company called Air Yacht, which is seeking to build the superyacht of the skies. So this is essentially a 200-meter-long airship which carries a residential module some 50 meters long, which can be dropped on water or on land. Guillaume has taken lots of inspiration from the superyacht world for the project, involving well-known designer Frank Darnay. I will put a link to the story we wrote about the Air Yacht in the description to the podcast so you can see some of the amazing visuals for yourself and learn a bit more about the project. And you can also hear from Guillaume at the upcoming Superyacht Design Festival in June in Milan, tickets for which are available now. But in the meantime, here is my interview with Guillaume, the co-founder of Air Yacht. So Guillaume, thank you so much for joining us. It's a thrill to talk to you. When I saw our story about Air Yacht on our website and in the feature we wrote about kind of space travel and different ways superyacht owners are accessing new experiences, I thought you'd be a great man to talk to as the brains behind Air Yacht. But I'm not going to do a great job of explaining it. So why don't you tell us, what is Air Yacht?
Yeah, hi Stuart. I'm very happy being with you today. What is Air Yacht? It's so many things. For me, it's a dream, something I've been working for so many years. It's a dream, it has been a dream in my head for so many years. But to explain it in a few words, I would say it's, in a very few words, it's a way to sail the sky. You discover the world from above, but like sailing in the sky, but you are this point of that you have in the yachting. When you are yachting, you can stop at a place and stay there for a few hours, a few days, etc. And you can do the same with the air yacht. So it's clearly a flying yacht, and I really love it.
So it is genuinely a super yacht of the skies. I mean, that is a fair description.
Yeah, exactly. It's a super yacht of the sky.
And practically, that means it's basically a yacht or something that looks very much like a yacht, suspended beneath a large 200-meter-long hot air balloon or helium balloon.
Yeah, helium balloon. Yeah, we can describe it like this, and that's the choice we have done for this first phase of communication. It's a yacht suspended to this airship, but the point is, it's not really like that. It's globally, an air yacht is an airship with people living in it, and then you can detach from the airship this part that we call the residence. So it looks really like a yacht because it's something we wanted with my associate and with Frank, the designer, to have it looking like a yacht. And I think we come after on this topic, but it's globally, the air yacht is an airship, and you live in it.
But it's an airship with this. It's quite hard to describe in a way, isn't it? It's kind of like it is a detachable yacht that kind of. So the airship kind of sails or floats around, and then the detachable yacht is lowered down, and it can be lowered down onto land or sea.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I was talking about before, is that when you want to stop somewhere, you don't need the balloon. If you are on a ship, on a boat, classic yacht, you can keep the engines with you. You can keep the hull. But really, you don't need them. You just need the place where you live in, and that's it. And with the balloon, the point is, it's so huge, and it's sensitive to the winds, like the yacht. The yacht will turn in the wind, but it's not a problem for you. But when you want to land in some maybe smaller places, etc., it's better to have a smaller stuff that you put on the ground, and that's the idea behind.
And so let's talk dimensions. I mean, can you talk us through the sizes involved and the volumes involved in both the airship and then the detachable unit?
Yeah. In terms of size, the global aircraft is 200 meters long, 60 meters high, and 50 meters wide. If you take only the residence, so the detachable part, let's say, the where people will be living in it, it's 52 meters long, and it's like a 52-55 meters long yacht in terms of amenities, etc. The only difference, you don't have the big engines, and you don't have the hull that is needed for to crush the water to speed up.
So the detachable residence doesn't have engines, and that's presumably for weight reasons.
Yeah, for weight reason and for many other reasons, for regulatory reasons, for many things. The point is, the residence, if you wanted to make a ship with it, it had to weigh 10 times more. So put it in another way, if we wanted to have a pure yacht that you want to hang to this balloon, because we are linked to the balloon and to the way this balloon can hang, if you wanted to have this, it would not be such a big yacht, a big space to live in. It would be something like maybe 10 meters long,
Yeah.
and we didn't want that. So we had to make some trade-off, and you know, with airship, with everything that is flying, you have to make many trade-off, because when you fly, weight is of major importance.
So it's basically, so it's an engineless residence that's got the looks of a very modern avant-garde yacht that can be picked up and taken anywhere in the world, basically.
Yeah, perfect resume.
And if you wanted to, but it does have tenders, doesn't it? So if you did want to move the residence whilst it's on the water, whilst it's floating, that is possible.
Yeah, you know, if you have you can put into the garage something like a 6.5 meters long tender, and if you have a 400 horsepower tender, you can tug it. But also, you can you know, what you can do also, you land the residence, for example, in the Portofino Bay, and then you want to be in the Portofino Harbor next to your friends, and then you just ask people from the harbor, and you say, okay, can you tug my boat, my residence, to the harbor, and then you have a yacht in the harbor. It's perfect.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's science fiction, but I can see like the obvious attraction of it. It's a very cool concept. I mean, but how long has this been in your brain?
Yeah, it began in 2017 for this concept of flying yacht. Let's say I've been thinking about airships. I'm not a fan of airships. I fly planes, but not airships, not balloons or stuff like that. Only fly planes. But when I began my studies in as an engineer, I saw so many things regarding airships. I was wondering, you have to do something with it. It's a new way of doing science, let's say. And at that time, it was maybe more on the telecommunication industry, like reaching farther, spaces where people can't have antennas or whatever. And then it moved in my stuff moved a little bit, and I began my career in the luxury industry. And in 2017, two things happened. The first one, I bought a Boat International magazine, and it's not a joke; it's a reality. And in buying this boat magazine, I just discovered a new industry within the luxury industry. I really knew the luxury industry in terms of very high jewelry, very high watchmaking industry, etc. But also a leather industry, etc. But the superyacht, not. And then I discovered it. And at the same time, almost, I came to discover a French company that was engineering an airship for the industry. And a big airship, a 200 meters long airship, but for the industry. So to just like a flying crane. And then I mixed up everything, and I came up with this idea. Okay, but why don't you do this super yacht? And one of the entry barrier I was that was my barrier when since I was wondering about airship was the fact that to create a new aircraft, it's not an engineering project. It's a huge engineering project, but also it's a certification project. No aircraft in the world flies without being certificated. And in the 2020s, certifying an aircraft, it's very long, it's very tough, etc. And then I was wondering, but you have something. So people, they will have done most of the job. We will have to do more, but you would have done a big part of the job, and you can do this flying yacht by using them, let's say, and by mixing everything. This idea came up.
So the the engineering was largely done. When you kind of conceived of the idea, the airship was more or less engineered, but not built, obviously.
It is going to fly in 2 years. Their airship, I can't say the name because we have NDAs with them right now, but it's going to fly in 2 years. And at that time, it was already engineered for a few years. So it was more than a concept, and it was financed by it was financed, etc. At that time, so it was not only an idea; it was more.
So I think that a lot of people kind of struggle with that because you can see the obvious attraction of this concept. I mean, it's a great idea, but people just think, "Oh, that'll never happen." But this is a bit different, isn't it? Because the airship is actually being constructed.
Yeah, it's in the industrialization phase right now. But I think and I hope that in a few months we will be able to reveal who is the partner and where they are at the building of the airship, and we will be able to show some pictures and more than pictures, so to say that it's real.
So that's a different company. Your company is proposing using their airframe basically, but then adding this residence part to it. So that's your point of difference. That's what you will do with their airframe and engineering.
To make it very simple, yes. It's much more complicated because there are many things in terms of engineering certification that have to be done and that are being done. But basically, it's this, clearly.
And so what's your background? I mean, you mentioned your experience in the luxury industry and you did an engineering degree, is that right? So kind of how did you wind up at the place where you thought one day, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to build a super yacht of the skies.
Yeah, as I said, it was quite natural. When everything mixed up in my head, I said, okay, yeah, you can do it. We can do it easily, let's say easily. It's always tough for sure, but the challenge is not so huge as building it from scratch. Taking people in the air from scratch when you have nothing, when you are not a pure expert and you don't have a big team with you, you can't do it like this. And you can see it with all the projects of eVTOLs or whatever you see. They are huge projects only to have a small stuff flying with one or two people in it. So imagine for 200 meters long stuff with 20, 30 people in it. So, but with this barrier that was, let's say, destroyed, partially destroyed with this partner, it was much more easier. And it's still an engineering project. It's still an analytical project. But let's say, very challenging, but not as challenging as building a new airship, a new thing from scratch. And maybe the second thing is airships, big airships like that one, they flew hundreds of years ago and easily. People were able to cross the Atlantic Ocean, and rich people were crossing the Atlantic Ocean for the price of a small house. It was a nice travel, a nice cruise you could do at that time. And at that time, they didn't have the weather forecast we have. They didn't have the knowledge in terms of materials, engineering, etc., etc. So imagine 100 years later what we can do.
So why did airships go out of fashion? Was it simply the horror of the Hindenburg disaster and then that kind of killed the industry? Had that not happened, would we see airships floating around the skies today?
The way you read history is always personal. My personal vision is that airship has lost the game. After the war, people wanted to travel fast. The engine of the aircraft allowed people to travel fast. And also, we had a lot of factories worldwide that had were able to make planes, to build planes, so you had to use them. So let's say the airships lost the game against these planes, and that's it.
Because it was, you know, back in the day, a supremely luxurious and comfortable way of getting around.
Yeah, clearly, sure.
And so with the when you picked up that copy of Boat International and you kind of were exposed to the superyacht industry, for the first time, and that clicked something in your mind, obviously. And then you thought about marrying the two worlds of airships and super yachts, but then you had to get a super yacht designer involved with the construction of your residence, or the design of your residence rather, and you chose one of the best ones, Frank Darnay, who's well known in our industry. So how did you come to arrive at Frank as your designer of choice?
I would say it's a question of meeting people, but also it's a vision I had in the when I was working in the luxury industry for client care, etc. What I always wanted to have is to really serve the clients in a luxurious way, in the way that they don't even have to ask, they just have what they even don't want. So it's kind of difficult to explain. But when I met Frank, I saw that he was completely aligned with me on that vision. Everything you need or you will need is there. And there is no superficial stuff you don't need. It's what you will need, what is really necessary. And after, if the client wants to add things that are not really necessary, you can do it. But it's still in terms of style, etc., it's a style that is made for the people who will be in this yacht. And I really love this.
And can you try and describe what the residence will be like, the feeling of being inside the residence? Because it's 50 meters long and it's got the gross tonnage, you said, of a 55 meter yacht, which is, that's a big boat. So what will be the experience like of being inside the residence of the air yacht?
Yeah, I would say it will be infinite. You can't describe it because it's what people will do with it. But in my opinion, we wanted to be like a super yacht, but more. You know, it's a super yacht, but with a third dimension. It's a super yacht that can cross the shore, that can go inland. So, but at least it's a super yacht. So you have to have everything you have in a super yacht. And Frank really knows everything about this. And everything could be the air condition, the feeling you have when you have heating or the cold air going into your room to refresh in your room, for example, but also everything related to catering, laundry, all those stuff that you have in a super yacht, you may not see when you are a guest. But also as a guest, you have to feel at least like in a super yacht and more. Yeah, for sure, the more is also that you are flying. So everything related to the what you see, what you look at when you are in it, you have to be able to see also below, to see things below, but also in front of you, and that's very important. So he has worked on many things to make you able to see what you are flying above, but also far away, to have the light getting inside. So you have nice rooms, and a very nice saloon. And after you have things you can change if you want five rooms, or maybe three rooms and a big gym, you can have it, et cetera, et cetera. It depends on the usage you want to do with it after.
So it's much like a custom super yacht. An owner would be able to spec and design his or her space much as they please?
Yes and no. Yes, for sure, because it's clearly depending on the client what he or she wants to have and to do with it. But it's not like a ship on the water that has it's a flying machine. So because it's flying, it has to answer to some certification needs, etc. And for this, we will not develop for each client a brand new exterior design. So we will have to stay in a frame. And for this, it's like more, let's say, a kind of super yacht, a series super yacht.
Okay. And I'm guessing, each one will have a fairly similar lines, more or less, but and I'm guessing people won't be allowed to chuck on loads of stone and heavy marbles and things like that. So weight obviously is crucial in the residence itself.
Clearly, weight is crucial, but we are working on ways to work on it. The first thing is maybe to change, let's say, if you're a client, your software. Flying in a stony stuff, you can love it, but it has an impact. And also changing your software is also saying, if I want to fly, I have to make trade-off. Do I want to fly for a long time? Do I want to have a lot of people with me, etc.? Because one of the biggest challenge we have is the water. Having 10 people or 20 people on board, let's say, it's nothing. Let's say 20 people, 2 tons. Okay. But look at the water you are consuming every day. Let's say rough estimate 100 kilos. So if you want to spend 10 days in the air, your weight, it's not 100 kilos, it's 1 ton and 100 kilos. And you multiplied it by the number of people. So there's trade-off to be made. Now, for this, we are working solution on the water, etc. But everything is a point of trade-off in terms of weight. Nevertheless, we are working with people to be able to have marble on carbon, to have woods on the walls, even if they are made of carbon fiber or stuff like that.
So it's not terribly dissimilar to the challenges a lot of superyacht designers face. Of course, if you build a semi-displacement or a planing boat and the owner wants lots of heavy materials, you've got to find solutions for that. Often it's, veneers or whatever it might be, or clever tricks with stone. Frank's a good someone good well placed to advise you on that score. So, but you mentioned 10 days in the sky. I mean, is that the kind of length of cruise you anticipate people taking in the air yacht? Will people, or can they go away for weeks at a time?
Let's say today some of the information are confidential, but I will say what I won't say what today we can do. I will say I will talk about what we want to achieve. So I'm not
Sure.
saying any secret or whatever. What we want to achieve is being able to stay a few days, a week without any landing, refueling, or whatever. But also, it's always a trade-off. If you want to be 1 week flying at full speed, you will have an issue because you are you, there's a consumption of fuel. So you need the fuel, and you need to it is the fuel has a weight too.
And what is the fuel at the moment?
At the moment, it will be kerosene, like an aircraft.
Okay. But the ambition obviously is to go full, go hydrogen when the
Exactly,
technology
for the fuel, yeah.
available.
The fuel will be hydrogen, and the airship will be fed with helium.
Okay. And 50 knots, I saw, was quoted. Is that still the performance figure?
Sure.
So you're zooming around in your 200-meter long airship at 50 knots. So that's, a considerable speed. So you can get,
Yeah.
that's you cross the oceans and well, how long would it take you to cross the ocean? Have you considered that in terms of your performance ceiling of the air yacht? Have you thought transatlantic?
I would say I will not answer this in because an air yacht, it's a yacht, so it's not like a private jet. It's not like any airliner or whatever, and that's why we never compare to the private jet industry. A private jet it is to go from A to B. A yacht, a super yacht, is just to enjoy time, enjoy time with people, to explore the Earth, the planet, or whatever. But it's not to go from A to B. And this is the same with the air yacht. I would say transatlantic has been considered if you want to just ferry your air yacht from one place to another. But you will not be as a guest, as the owner, into the air yacht. So, yeah.
I mean, that's again, that's not a million miles away from the superyacht world. Not many owners do the passage from Gib to Antigua or Fort Lauderdale.
Sure.
So yeah, similar parallels. And crew, how many people do you see crewing the air yacht?
So in terms of crew, let's say we have two crews and we got a challenge. The first crew is a piloting crew, because you really need pilots to pilot the airship as itself, because it's a flying machine, and you will not be able to pilot it like some people pilot their own private plane or whatever. It will be a pure professional crew who will be piloting the airship. So this is the first crew, and we target to have a crew of three maximum. And the second crew is a hospitality crew, let's say, the crew in charge of your life on board. And this crew, the challenge we had is, as I said before, each person in the air yacht is weight. So it's weight, and it's a lot of weight, because it's the weight of the person, it's the weight of the luggage, it's the weight of the water, but it's also the weight of his or her room, etc., etc. So we made a trade-off, and we reached a hospitality crew of 12 people in the air yacht. That is, we assume, quite good for this kind of luxury we want to achieve.
Yeah, I'd say that's a big complement of crew for what is the equivalent more or less of a 50-meter yacht. And so the crew, they will all live on the in a part of the residence. There's no accommodations in the airship part of the air yacht, or is that, or are there?
For the hospitality crew, there is no accommodation in the airship. Let's say you will have two separate worlds. The crew in charge of piloting the airship, and the rest of the crew, including and the guests. The hospitality crew and the guests, they will be in the residence. Why? The first reason is just because when you land the residence on the water, on the snow, or whatever you want, on any lake in the world, you will need to keep your hospitality crew with you first, because your life when you landed needs your hospitality crew. But the airship will leave the zone. We will not stay there. It depends on the number of hours of days you will stay landed, but and the airship still needs to be piloted, and that's it.
Okay. And then I'm just thinking about, because obviously the practicalities of cruising the air yacht, if you've got a sea yacht, you check in and check out of countries and territories when you arrive there. Presumably you can't just go flying over international borders in the air yacht. You'll have to lower the residence or somehow get people to Earth to do the formalities and then rise again and then cross the border.
I would say you have to do the formalities and to have elsewhere someone going into the air yacht, so someone from the customs or whatever, immigration, or the people going down, for sure. But we today in the air yacht, you have two things. You have the residence that you don't lower on you. The residence, you land it, and once you land it, the airship is leaving. And it has its own autonomy, the residence, so you can live in it, you have the energy, etc. But when you are flying, you also have an elevator in the residence, so you fly, you just stop over a place, because and then you stop over a place, and then you get into the elevator, and the elevator goes down, and you're down, and you have not landed. You just you have not landed, and it's kind of crazy, this idea, because we want it to be like a superyacht. And in a superyacht, what do you have? You have tenders. So we are not in Star Wars, or I don't know what movie. So the tender is not X-wing or whatever. The tender in our air yacht is this elevator. You go over the place. It could be, I don't know, a golf course, and then you lower down the elevator. You are in it, and that's it. And if you want to do the same with maybe your car, your ATV, because you're in the middle of the desert, can do it. You don't have to land the residence. And in terms of authorization, also, it's much less difficult to get authorization to just land people than land a 200 meters long airship.
I was going to ask about authorization and the legality of it. I mean, is there any legal framework into which residential airships fall currently, or is this going to require a few new laws or regulations?
Let's say you have two kind of regulations. The one is certification, so the right to fly. I'm not going to talk about this one right now. The other one is where to fly. For people who know the basics of piloting, when you're a private pilot or professional pilot, you have two kind of flying rules: the IFR and the VFR. The VFR, visual flying rules, are the ones that you use when you pilot an helicopter or a private plane, any private plane. And the air yacht will be in this category. So wherever you see a small Cessna, an helicopter, etc., you can see an air yacht tomorrow. And that.
Wow. Because you kind of, you naturally assume from a position of profound ignorance, which is where I'm sitting, that there'll be some kind of, there's no way they can allow this, right? But why wouldn't they? If it's the same regs as basically your local Cessna taking off from a grass airstrip near your house kind of thing, then, you know, what's to stop you?
Exactly. You know, in some countries, they have a lot of imagination, so they can find some, but... To be really honest, I remember my great grandmother talking me speaking about the zeppelin crossing the France, and everyone was looking at them like wow. And when you see some of them, it's not an issue. And we know that in the super yacht industry, we have some issues in some places where there are a lot of super yachts, big yachts and super yachts. But when will we have a lot of super air yachts in the same place at all times? I don't know when, because the space is not the same. You know, I would say an image I often give people is that when you have a super yacht, you only travel in two dimensions. Why two dimensions? You only travel near the coast, so it's only two dimensions. But if you have an air yacht, if you have an air yacht, you can go wherever you want. So if you want to meet friends who have also air yachts, yeah, you can go anywhere. If you are in the Monaco Bay, okay, why don't you go 10 kilometers north, next to the mountains or wherever.
Yeah, and there's some lovely images or renderings rather on your various marketing materials of the residents dropped in, the African savannah kind of thing, and that is the potential.
Clearly, and what is very interesting with this picture and some others, is you see that an air yacht has very 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 minimal impact where it arrives. Because it doesn't land. So when you land the residence, yeah, clearly you have an impact. But if you only land the elevator, you have no impact. So, and you don't even have to anchor you and to have issues with Posidonia or whatever. So it's also a way of cruising with an impact on the nature, on the ecosystem that is really, really minimum.
Yeah. So I have to ask the all important question. So what will an air yacht cost?
I would say it will cost the price of a 80, 90 meters long yacht.
So that's a chunk of change.
And we're quite happy that we can achieve this. And also in terms of operational cost, we target to have operational costs similar or even lower than the same boat, the 80 or 90 meters long boat.
Sure. Okay. And how long will it take? I mean, how long will it take to build one of these things?
So the lead time of the building lead time will be 3 years, 3 to 4 years. The first one, it should be 4 years. And after it should be 3 to 4 years, depending on also on the specifications the clients want.
And how are you going to reach the people who can afford to spend the kind of money that it costs to build an 80 or 90 meter super yacht?
It's always a challenge they all face in the super yacht industry. Reach those people,
sure,
and make the dream enough to be owning this or that.
Well, I mean, it's impossible not to get carried away in your own imagination when you see this thing, because you think, literally the sky is the limit with the air yacht. And that's what I pray that a visionary owner finds you and commissions one, because it would be wonderful to see one floating around the skies.
Sure. And we hope so, because with Mathieu, my associate, we really want to see it flying, because it's a dream, and when you imagine it, it's so crazy. You have so many images of movies, of sci-fi, whatever. It's crazy, but also it's so close to us, because we know that it would take almost nothing to build it, to have it flying, to have people living into it, enjoying it, having those crazy experiences.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I should plug whilst we're talking. So you will be coming to the Superyacht Design Festival in Milan in June to talk more about the air yacht with all of our guests and delegates at that event.
Yeah, Alan, I'm very happy. I'm very happy that you invited me, because I think it's a great place to meet other designers and many people from the superyacht industry.
Yeah, it's going to be a fascinating event. So if you're listening to this and you want to hear more from Guillaume about the fascinating air yacht project, come along to our event in Milan in June. It's from the 22nd to the 24th. It's going to be a hell of a show. We've got some fantastic speakers, one of whom is obviously Guillaume. And you know, I hope we'll try and get you direct some owner attention your way, because I want to see this thing in the sky.
Sure, we hope so. Thank you as well,
Guillaume. It's been a real pleasure to talk to you, and I'll see you in June.
See you in June. Thank you. Bye bye.
Thank you for listening to this week's Big Boat interview, which was mixed and produced by Grace Nielsen and is a production of Boat International Media. Don't forget to tune in on Friday to our Boat Briefing podcast to hear all the news and views from the world of superyachting. In the meantime, don't forget to like and subscribe, and I hope you have a fantastic week.